Welcome back to the Down to Earth podcast. We live in such a fast-paced world and are constantly bombarded by outside noise and many distractions. Finding our focus is more challenging these days than ever before, but it's something that we need to master in order to lead successful and fulfilled lives. In this episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Dr. Mike Van Thielen. Dr. Mike is an acclaimed expert in optimizing health, biohacking, performance, and productivity. Dr. Mike is a coach and mentor to professional athletes, high-performing business executives, and everyday people that are striving to become their best selves. Dr. Mike is also a best-selling author and wrote several books, including The Key to Your Success, Optimize Productivity and Focus, Free Up Valuable Time, and Live Stress-Free. This is going to be a great episode. Here we go.
Welcome to the Down to Earth podcast.
We're your hosts, sibling duo, Jonathan and Lorena.
In this podcast, we'll be spilling the tea on all things health and wellness related.
This podcast is designed to motivate you to take care of your physical, mental, and spiritual health.
We'll be bringing on doctors, healers, fitness experts, business leaders, and innovators.
Thanks for joining us in our mission of making the world a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place. Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Mike, how are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm doing well. I'm really excited to be chatting with you.
Sounds good.
I would love to get started by learning a little bit more about your background and what ultimately propelled you to a career in the health industry.
Well, long story short, most of your listeners can hear my accent. I grew up in Belgium. Actually, my brother and I and our mom that had to work hard to provide for us. Luckily, university over there or college isn't as expensive as here. So I was able to, you know, make my own money as a young adult and go to the University of Brussels. I did physical education first because I was into sports. I loved sports. And so that's what I did. But after I graduated, what am I going to do with that degree? So then I went into physical therapy, traveled with Belgian Olympic swimmers in preparation for the Olympic Games in Atlanta in 1996. And at the time, they were short of therapists in the United States. So a recruiter called me up and, you know, I saved $400, packed my backpack, put my jeans on and came live the American dream. Needless to say, without any business background or coach or mentor, I got knocked down pretty quickly. And so my motto became, I never lose, I win or learn. So fast forward, worked in physical therapy for a while, then was exposed to other modalities and therapies, decided to go back to school, the Florida College of Integrative Medicine in Orlando, got my license in acupuncture, doctor of oriental medicine, board certified in Chinese herbs, homeopathy, you name it. And after treating another about 2,000 patients, I really got frustrated because these modalities or therapies are indeed less invasive than conventional medicine, meaning drugs, injections, and surgeries. But I really didn't get the lasting results I was looking for either. So I decided to go back to basics. And that's when I got my PhD in holistic nutrition and also really looked at Mother Nature, because Mother Nature always has the truths about health. And so I really started to look closely at animals in the wild. And by combining those two, I got really confident in helping anybody with any of their health problems. And so I help people regain control of their health when they're in pain or they're diagnosed with some type of a disease or they're overweight. And then I help them optimize their health. And today I'm considered an expert biohacker, which means is we are now going to objectively reverse your biological age and become superhuman, right? But meanwhile, I was the CEO of some med spas, the CEO of a regenerative medicine company where we treated NFL players and top athletes and heavyweight champion boxers with stem cells. And then COVID came and the pandemic came. We closed the doors. And that's when I really had to kind of look at myself and a little bit and see what my superpowers were and what really I find fulfillment in. And that's really helping people with their health and with their business also. And so today I'm a coach and a mentor. I do speaking gigs, I write books, and I'm working on some online courses right now, but I also help people as a mentor coach to do whatever it is that their goals and dreams are and make them realize those goals and dreams.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And I'm excited to dive into a lot of those things. And I think a really nice key learning from your story is that you weren't just one thing. You aren't just one thing. And I think a lot of people feel like they could only do one thing, right? Or they could only be one thing. And as we live and as we get older, you know, our curiosities evolve, our skill set evolves. And it's totally normal if something that interested you tremendously when you were 20 changes by the time that you're 30 or 40, and to go with that and to understand that you could do many things, you know, throughout your journey.
In my case, it's more an evolvement, right? Always staying on the edge of that peak performance and on what's out there health-wise, because conventional medicine doesn't give us any solutions, right? So it's always like going from anti-aging to regenerative and functional medicine to now biohacking and kind of staying on the edge of that. And now I have the experience. I know where the pitfalls are, and I can show people to get there much faster. You know, whether it's health-wise, because I help cancer patients, Parkinson's patients, you name it, or where you're a top athlete or a top entrepreneur and you want to go from a millionaire to a billionaire or from an NFL player to an MVP, whatever it is. What is that next level? And you said it, you know, we evolve as humans, but it also requires that we learn how to get out of the comfort zone into a new growth zone. But then eventually that new growth zone becomes what? A new comfort zone. Yeah. So we got to continue to, you know, surround ourselves with different people, with the people that are a step ahead of us, and leave that comfort zone continuously so we can continue to grow.
100%. And I think something that's important to remember is there should be a balance of being grateful for what you have, but always striving for more. I think a lot of people might feel guilty if they want more than they already have, especially if they already lead a very blessed life, maybe have a great business, a nice family, all the things that they thought they wanted. But in order to keep growing and evolving, we should always strive to become better. We should always strive for more.
Yeah.
At the same time, we should still be grateful for what we already have.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm glad you bring that up, because you say what we have. And so most people will think about money, houses, cars, and those types of things, right? But many times we need to have an abundance so we can share it. And when I say abundance, money may be a part of it, but your abundance could be sharing your knowledge, your gratitude, your presence, your kindness. So we can share on many other levels, but we really are not in a mindset to do that when we're struggling day to day, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, there's nothing wrong with having more, not just financially, but also stepping once again out of that comfort zone, because that's where we grow. That's where we go from ordinary to extraordinary. That's where we go from, you know, merely missing our goals and dreams to fulfilling them, from, again, millionaire to billionaire, sub-top athlete to world-class athlete, and the list goes on. So yes, we got to continue to do that. And it's about fulfillment, right? It's not about money. It's about fulfillment. It's about accomplishing the things you want to accomplish and feeling good about yourself and the things that you're doing for others. And so I think when you talk about abundance, it's those types of things, the ability to help other people, the fulfillment you get in doing that and be able to do that because you are financially stable enough to put your time in those things.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you work with a lot of top athletes. I know you were with the Olympic swim team for a while. So I'm curious, what are some learnings that you had in working with really high performing athletes or just high performing people in general that the everyday person could apply to their life as well?
Yeah, of course, they're very motivated to get to that next level, right? And that's one thing. But what I learned, I think, is I was an athlete myself. So we try to get into the zone. We try to be highly effective, not waste any time and get into that flow state. And so with my newest book, which is called the IZOT Method, IZOT stands for In the Zone On Demand, I realized that most people don't have the skill to do that. And even many top athletes don't, because the average person thinks that getting into the zone is just for athletes. And in my book, I basically teach people, no, this is a skill that everybody can acquire, whether you're an entrepreneur, business person, a performer, an artist. It doesn't really matter who you are. You are going to perform at a higher level if you can get into the zone, into that flow state, no distractions, crushing a lot of work in minimal time, and, you know, crushing your sales goals, crushing a presentation, swimming a world record. It doesn't really matter what that is. So what I learned is that it's a skill to get into the zone on demand. It's turning this thing on and off. And that makes the difference between a millionaire, a billionaire, an NBA player and an MVP, and reaching your goals and dreams or just falling short. And so I think that's kind of the biggest giveaway lately that I learned in the athlete world that also the average person can apply, because it's just a skill that we can learn.
And that's great to hear, because I think a lot of people do struggle with productivity. I think especially the world that we live in now, and it's probably going to continue to just only grow. We're surrounded by so much noise and so many distractions. I mean, you even see people from generations that grew up without technology and how much technology has changed their attention spans, their productivity. What are some productivity tips? I know that you wrote a great book that I'm excited to read, and I recommend that everybody buy it and read it as well. But what are some key tips that people could apply to increase their productivity and to try to block out all the noise?
Yes. So you're bringing something up great. It's the distraction. So the first thing is awareness and knowledge about what it does to you, right? Because for us to be able to into the zone, we need to balance and optimize our five intelligence hormones, which is dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, acetylcholine. So when they're optimal and in balance, that's where we're in the zone. That's where there's no distraction. So when we're not in the zone and we're distracted, it means that those intelligence hormones are out of balance, especially since the upcoming of social media and all our gadgets that you just mentioned. Most of us now don't have a lack of dopamine. We're in a dopamine overload. So there's too much dopamine compared to the other intelligence hormones. And this dopamine overload puts us in a stage of brain fog and unable to focus, no attention, no productivity, procrastination, fidgeting, just not being able to get started or finish a job or a project. And so that's because those hormones are out of balance. So the first thing is to educate people about dopamine overload. And because dopamine is our reward hormone, right? If our brain squirts a little dopamine, it feels good. It's like getting a pat on the back. And so a lot of man-made foods and drinks that are sugar-laden will give us a dopamine hit. So bad food, bad diets, energy drinks, coffee, all that kind of stuff, you know, gives a little bit of squirt of dopamine. But now we have this social media and all these technologies and devices that also gives us dopamine hits, because it's the reason why most of us spend too much time on social media, waste time, and are unable to control it, because we're kind of addicted to it consciously or unconsciously. And again, that's because it gives us dopamine hits, and we may not realize it, because if somebody hearts our Instagram or, you know, leaves a comment on our Facebook post, guess what? It's a dopamine hit. And so we seek more of it. So first is the awareness. Upgrade your diet and regain control over your social media and understand what it's doing to your intelligence hormones. So we need to balance those. So that's number one. So what can we do productivity-wise? Well, there's so many things we can do for productivity and focus. Let's look at a bigger picture first, and I'm just going to give a few examples. A lot of people are wasting their time on projects and things that they're doing that do not basically suit or contribute to their goals and dreams. Because they started projects, are they helping other people fulfill their goals and dreams? So, you know, ask yourself, what are you doing? What projects are you working on? And which ones really do not contribute your goals and dreams? And you got to start to learn to say no to people and projects, because they consume a lot of time that do not contribute. So, you know, ask yourself those types of questions. Then how much time during your day are you wasting things that, again, don't contribute your goals and dreams besides those projects? Yesterday, I asked somebody, how many meetings did you have today? Two. How long were they? An hour each. Well, why don't you schedule your meetings from now on in 15-minute increments? Because why can't you make a decision about one topic in 15 minutes? Doesn't have to take an hour. So now you save an hour and a half per day just on two meetings. So it's about, you know, really starting to script your life, being in control of your agenda and your calendar, creating that clarity on what you're doing every day, not overlapping those meetings and those to-do lists, because we all learned already that multitasking is a big mistake, right? So we really need to get organized, scripting that life, being in control of our agenda, our calendar, and that's where productivity starts, eliminating the things that don't contribute to your goals and dreams. And so we need to make those plans. We need to surround ourselves with the right people. And we need to, you know, start to focus on those types of things. And when we talk about focus, you know, a lot of people today are labeled with ADHD and they can't focus and they're distracted. So, you know, it has to do with those five intelligence hormones and dopamine overload we talked about. But it's also We got away from basic things that we need to do in order to deliver. When I ask people where they do their homework or their projects, you know, some people answer in the couch in the living room in front of the TV or on the kitchen table. Well, no, you know, let's go back to basics. We need a designated working area at the office and at home. And if you go into that area, that's what the area is for. You close the door, you tell people not to distract you. And then we need to shut those things off because these are convenient things. And we can use them to our advantage because if I need to know something from Jonathan for my project, I can call up Jonathan and I get that answer. So it's pretty convenient. But then I'm going to turn this off because I don't want Jonathan to interrupt me while I'm being focused on my work, right? So, and then there's many different techniques, and some of them we may have heard of, the Pomodoro technique. It's a technique where you're really going to focus in that workspace without any distractions. Your phone is off for 20, 25 minutes. And then take a mandatory 5-minute break. You walk out and do something else. And you repeat that cycle 4 or 5 times. And so within those 2-3 hours, you're going to, you know, accomplish a lot more than most people would do in an entire day or an entire week. And so there's many tips and strategies, many things that we can put in place to regain control of our focus, our productivity, our environment, and eliminate all those distractions.
Yeah, I think those are all great tips and really great strategies. Now, are you a big fan of like planning out the day before, the week before? How do you like to structure your day or your week? Because I think a lot of people probably just, they go with the flow and then things will come up and they'll just try to squeeze it in and then their schedule's a mess and they're running around without
any direction. You can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that. That's where the stress and stuff comes in too. And you know, you're multitasking and you're not focused on where you want to go. So when I work with top executives or top athletes, and athletes are always a good example, it's like, okay, you know, the Olympic Games in Paris is too short. We're not going to win there. So it's going to be 2028. So now we're 5-6 years out. Okay, great. So we want to accomplish this in 5 years. So now we're going to break down, what do we need to accomplish? We want to win the 110-meter hurdles and we want to have a gold medal. Okay, that's the goal 5 years from now. What do we need to accomplish at year 4, 3, 2, and 1? And in year 1, what do we need to accomplish each month, each week? So what do I need to do tomorrow? And so it's very important to have that goal, that dream, and have a timeline and break that down in small incremental steps. Because if you tell somebody now in 5 years, you need to accomplish that big goal and dream, that's scary and overwhelming. So we need to break that down in very attainable incremental steps daily. So I need to know, I need to know what I'm going to do tomorrow to bring me that small step closer to that big goal and dream. And so now, you know, I have a different mindset too, because I'm getting up and I'm excited to get up because I'm going to be able to accomplish something and find fulfillment in something that's going to be get me closer to that big dream. And it's amazing on how those small incremental steps quickly make big strides towards your big goals and dreams. Because they always say, and you probably heard it too, Jonathan, is like, when your goals or when your dreams are not scary, they're not big enough, which is true. But if they are scary, people are overwhelmed and think, oh, I can't accomplish that anyway. So that's why we need a plan. That's why we need to break everything down. So we don't want to veer away from that. There's always emergencies. There's always things happening. But we really need to break all those down and so really know what it is that we're going to do tomorrow to contribute to that big goal and dream and really be organized in the agenda. And obviously, once in a while, take a step back and look where we are in the process, because obviously, you know, in 5 years, many things can happen. New technologies come out. Better coaching comes out. You know, AI is there to tell you you should eat an orange and you don't even know why, but AI tells you that's probably the best thing that you can eat at 4 p.m. today. So we may have to modify those things to be able to reach those goals, but we at least need to set those goals and then constantly reevaluate those so we can achieve those goals and dreams no matter what they are.
Yeah, and I think that's great advice because a lot of people have big ideas and big goals and they'll sit down and they'll think about everything that it's going to entail. And like you said, they get scared, they get overwhelmed, so they never start. Whereas if they do break it down into more bite-sized pieces, they could get started, grow along the journey. And then when you look back, you're like, wow, I've come a really long way.
There's two things there I think are important. Number one, when you put that plan down, don't worry about the details or the how-tos. It's the what. What's my dream? What's my goal? 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, how do I need to do that? That's step number one. Step number two is you got to really start making a list of people that you need to reach that goal, because we never as individuals can reach our highest potential, right? So if we talk about an athlete, they have, you know, the 110 hurdles, for example, they have a track and field coach. They probably have a separate strength training gym coach. They have a mental coach. They have a nutritionist. Then they have their family and friends to support them and all kinds of other people most likely. So it's a whole team of experts is what I call it to make that happen. So start making a list on who do you need in your life to make your goals and dream happen. And it doesn't have to be a person's name. It could be just, you know, I need a CPA. I need a good CPA, or I need this, or I need that, or I need a virtual assistant, whatever it is. Start making the list on who you need to make that happen, and then start filling in those quote unquote positions, because or surround yourself with those people, right? And learn from them versus, you know, necessarily hiring people. But what people need to realize is you need to keep focused on your strengths. You need to be the one running and going to the gym and eating the right foods, but you don't want to work on your weaknesses. We've heard that many times in the past, you know, work on your weaknesses. I think that's a waste of time. We need to identify our weaknesses and then hire the people or surround ourselves with the people that are strong where we are weak, but continue to work on your strengths.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Very, very important, especially in a business. And that's something that I've learned, because, you know, starting my first company, you sort of try to do everything because you have to. Yeah. And then you quickly learn there's things that my time should be allocated to where I add the most value, and things that no matter how hard I work at it, I'm just not interested in it, you know?
Yes, so correct.
It is important. Yes. Now, you mentioned AI. I don't want to spend the whole conversation talking about AI, even though I'm sure we can. But with AI coming out, and AI, in my opinion, is going to continue to grow, how should people deal with AI? Because I fear that people who become too dependent on it, you know, it could weaken your brain capacity. It could end up hurting your productivity. I think especially for a lot of people that might even be in school still, that are younger, that are at the point now where they might become dependent on it. So what do you recommend when it comes to AI? Of course, it could make us more productive and it could make us a little bit more efficient, but it could also become a little too much. So what do you think?
Yeah, it's a scary topic. Like you said, there's conveniences and there's kind of red flags at the same time. Just like when dynamite was invented, it wasn't invented to blow up people. It was invented to blow up geographical areas to get to the mining and stuff. So again, it's the same with when we talk about biohacking. There's basically three levels of biohacking. The first level of biohacking is biomodulation, which basically means I'm going to do something that has a positive effect on my biology or physiology. For example, I'm going to take a high quality supplement. I'm going to do an infrared sauna. I'm going to eat something healthy. I'm going to get fresh air. I'm going to do some grounding. So it's an activity that helps our biology, physiology. It's biomodulation. The next step is bioenhancement. It's something externally that comes from, you know, externally, but has a more long-term impact. Good examples here would be bioidentical hormones or stem cell-based therapies, because we are genetically programmed to live a certain amount of age and have certain diseases or not diseases. So for example, as we age, the quantity and quality of our hormones and stem cells declines, right, to a certain point. So when we implement stem cell therapies or we take bioidentical hormones, we are basically surpassing or overcoming that genetic programming. We're going beyond that genetic programming, and that's biohacking. It's reversing that biological age, right? So that's bioenhancement. And then the third step is biotransformation, which is where we're going to talk about now, because you asked about it. That's kind of merging biology with technology. It's using that AI. And of course, we already are doing that. A pacemaker, for example, is biotransformation. Bionic limbs are now operating with much greater efficiency and effectiveness than our own biological limbs. Implanting a computer chip in a Parkinson's patient's brain to help with the debilitating effects, cochlear implants for deafness. So it's there, but now we have AI. And obviously, whatever your political views are or whatever you think about globalistic views, there is a component to it where if we are really combining biology with technology, we may come to a point where we are going to be 100% controlled by the elite or external forces. So that's the scary part of it. So we got to be very careful, I think, as you said, about AI and how to utilize it. So yes, when kids in school, we got ChatGPT, you got to write an essay, you can cheat and just you know, use ChatGPT and there's your essay and the teacher even really wouldn't know, unless it's, of course, much better than your previous work, then they know something went wrong. So you may want to customize it and use some of that those ideas and customize it. But yeah, when it comes to AI and health, I think there are some opportunities because, of course, AI collects all the current data from all over the world that we can't fathom. And, you know, the AI that I use, basically every given moment integrates my physical, emotional, social, spiritual, mental well-being and tells me at this moment I need to eat an orange, for example, and I wouldn't be able to extract or know that information by myself. So there are advantages to AI when it comes to upgrading the body and the mind, because it will tell you certain things. Even from a business or team perspective, if you're in the corporate world, it will tell you like, you know, Jonathan and Mike work on this sales team. And so it would tell you, you know, Jonathan likes to communicate this way. He likes to get presented a new idea this way. That's how Jonathan responds. So we really can increase effectiveness and efficiency with AI. But like you said, we also got to be careful that it doesn't replace us. We really got to see it as a tool or something that saves us time. You know, just like when we start working together, I don't know you, you don't know me. So AI could in a few hours figure out on how we best communicate while in a relationship, whether it's at home with your significant other or whether it's with a new employee or a new teammate at work. It may take months and months to figure out, oh, the reason why he doesn't like me or doesn't deliver the work I asked him to do a certain way is because the communication is off, right? And so that's where AI can really help. But I 100% agree with you. We got to be careful that it doesn't take over our own thinker, our own biology.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword. So it'll be.
Yes, for sure. So
but we need to have that self-discipline to not allow it to take over our lives. Yes. Now, I know you've worked with, you know, a tremendous amount of people. I'm curious, what are some of the key things that you see most people struggle with? Like, is there a commonality that you see amongst your clients or is it really different in like a case-by-case basis?
It is. There's of course different things case by case, but it's the excuses or the, you know, the reasons not to, and even in top executives and even in athletes, right? So even though you may be, for example, as an example, in the healthcare profession, you probably could figure out how to upgrade your health and what you need to do. Even myself, you know, I was a competitive swimmer. And so I know I needed to go to the gym and do strength training also, but I didn't really like the gym. And when I went by myself, it was basically a subpar performance because I start socializing or I give up too soon, right? So I knew for myself, I needed that coach that pushed me above and beyond. I needed that accountability. So I wouldn't have an excuse like, oh, I'm tired after work. I just want to go home. I don't want to go to the gym. No, I pay for the coach and he's waiting and I better be there or he's going to rip my ass apart, right? So I think that with most people recently that I work with, it's like, we always start talking about their purpose because in the beginning, we talked a little about growth zone and you talked about being successful, right? And having everything. But a good recent example is I had this eye surgeon and he does thousands and thousands of procedures and he's very successful and obviously provides for his family and he's really good at what he does. But it wasn't his purpose because his parents immigrated from Cuba. They did whatever it took to get him into school and get him a different life. And here he is very successful. But people sometimes forget about their purpose. They're successful, but are they feeling fulfillment? And many times it's not because society pushes it in certain directions. We got to go to school, we got to go to college, and then we got to work for somebody else till we're 65. And then there's the golden years, which usually don't happen. Or our parents and teachers pushes in a certain direction, like in this case I just mentioned, because if dad's a lawyer, they probably want you to go to law school. If mom's a doctor, they probably want you to go to, you know, to med school. And that doesn't mean you're not being successful, but the question is, are you living your purpose? And many times people are not. So I always start with purpose. And then once I identify, look, your passion and your fire is somewhere else, then the first objection is, yes, but I can't drop my job. I can't stop doing eye surgeries. I have bills to pay, a mortgage to pay. I have kids, I have grandkids, whatever it is. And I'm not asking that. But it's the first objection. I can't do that. Well, you can. What we need to do is we need to free up 1 hour per day right now so we can start working on your real goals and dreams, the things that you're passionate about, whether it's being a pilot, whether it's being a motivational, inspirational speaker or getting a certain message into the world. It doesn't matter what it is. Playing an instrument, you know, maybe you're a doctor, but you love music. Well, that you became a doctor because you assumed it made you more money, and it may well be, but there's musicians that make a lot of money too, especially when we talk about those that fill stadiums and concerts and stuff like that. So it all depends, right? So again, it's like, okay, we got to free up 1 hour a day. Oh, I don't have free 1 hour a day. Oh, yes, you do. I've never had any client that I couldn't free up 2 hours per day. Because, you know, when we go through the day, oh, I come home, I'm tired, we're watching Netflix. Oh, there's 2 hours right there. Or back to the meetings. How many meetings did you have? I had 2 meetings. How long were they? An hour each. Let's from now on schedule 15-minute meetings and just make that decision. So we free up valuable time. And now 1 hour a day, we're going to work at least 1 hour on whatever it is that your fulfillment is. So what I'm trying, the way I'm trying to answer your question, think, Jonathan, is like excuses. You know, oh, you know, I went this way and this is my passion, but I can't. Yes, you can. Let's free up a little bit of time. Nobody tells you to drop your job. There will be a time where we can transition into it, right? Yeah. And so I think a lot of us know maybe even what to do because we're educating, we're watching podcasts, YouTubes, we know what, but the accountability is missing. And with my mentees, every week there's very clear goals and I'll make sure I make them accountable and I'll stick with them until they realize their goals and dreams.
That's amazing. And yeah, that's very sound advice. And I do think that's a big issue that a lot of people face. Now, I'm curious how you would deal with somebody that, let's say, had, you know, experienced a big failure. Let's say they started a business that didn't work out. And rather than learning from it, as you said, you either succeed or you learn, it really, you know, put them down. And they are having a hard time bouncing back from that. They, you know, are having a hard time moving forward in life. Where would you start with them? Where do you think people that are in that place in their life, especially in the economic times that we're in now and heading into, we keep hearing of a lot of people getting laid off, very smart people that have a lot of potential. Yeah. But of course, that could impact how they feel about themselves and how they see their futures.
No, and you mentioned it already. And the key word is mindset, right? So we really got to work on mindset, which I do with anybody. Because when you have a bad experience, you know, you get a false core belief that you can do it, right? And so we got to eliminate false core beliefs and work on the belief system. And so that's what I do with my clients. And I really talk about those things because a belief is simply a thought that we keep on thinking. So in order to change your belief, we just got to change our thinking. And instead of being imprisoned by our past, we need to start getting pulled forward by our future. So that's where, again, the dreams. In 5 years, I want to, you know, run a world record and be a gold Olympic gold medalist. So let's focus on that and let's break that down and let's really focus on tomorrow, next week, next year. Let's forget about the past. Let's surround yourself with the wrong people. And we certainly can do an assessment on why you failed. Why is it that you failed? You mismanaged your money. Well, you're not a CPA. Why didn't you hire one? Right. So we can exactly extract the lessons from that. And objectify and, you know, make them objective. This is why I didn't fail. So we did learn a lesson. So let's put that lesson in our future, but let's not focus on that, right? Let's pull ourselves forward. And that's where mindset belief system comes in. Belief system, very important, because if you have any doubt in your mind, even if it's just a little bit, that you may not break that world record in 5 years, then the universe has two options, failure or success. But if you have no doubt in your mind, because you have the plan, you have the people around you, you take the incremental steps, you do what it takes, nothing distracts you. So if you have no time, no doubt in your mind that you're going to win the world record, then the universe only has one option, which is a big win. And so it's important that we work on that. I do that with my health patients too. So my latest one is colon rectal cancer, right? So, but the fact that conventional medicine labels you with that, that's a bad thing. Just that label that you have cancer, consciously and unconsciously, that's with you 24/7. So if we don't change the mindset or the unconscious thoughts that you may die of cancer, then you probably are going to die of cancer. And then the doctor is going to be right. So we really need to change that labeling and that mindset to, I'm not going to die from cancer. I'm going to beat the cancer and I'm going to see my grandkids grow up and I'm going to be there for their graduation and their wedding. And so we're going to focus on that and we're going to put a plan in to beat the cancer. And that's where our focus is going to lie. We're going to get rid of that label because you're not a cancer patient. You are a father, a grandfather. That's what you are. And so it is important to work on that mindset because the mind not only controls the physical body, but it also is the blueprint to our failure and our success. It's the blueprint to our future. So no matter who I work with, mindset is very, very important. And so when you had a failure, which your question was, we really got to work on that quickly and eliminate those false core beliefs that you can't do it or it was your fault. Well, we can look at that previous business that failed and see why it failed. So we can learn from that and say, okay, great. Now I know why it failed. It's not going to happen again. Now I can be successful. So that would be one of the strategies for sure.
Yeah, that's, again, really great advice. And I think that people have to realize that you really could come back from anything, right? If you're willing to put in the work and you are willing to, you know, shift your mindset, you definitely can overcome anything. Now, are you a big fan of like visualizations, affirmations? What are some of the tools in your toolkit?
I'm a big fan. What I do with my clients, I make them a power routine, which is a routine that works for them that they can count on each and every time to get into the zone and win in whatever it is that they do, right? So in that power routine, usually has similar elements for everybody. But like you said, you know, a certain mindset. If you want to tap into a certain brainwave or get into the zone, there's different techniques for you to get into a meditative state. It could be visualization, could be manifestation, could be meditation, could be breath work, which works very well for me, or could be a technology such as BrainTap. Whatever it is, we have a certain goal. We're going to try some of those tools to get to that goal. And one tool will work better for one client than for another. And that tool now becomes part of their power routine, which has other aspects and elements in it for them to really be very successful. For example, I have a morning routine, an evening routine, a dream routine, which is my goals and dreams, and then a biohacking routine. So ultimately, your day is going to be scripted and it's all those routines in it that work for you as an individual to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And so I help people develop their power routines. And when it comes to the mindset, you're 100% correct. You have many tools such as visualization that may or may not work well for a certain individual, but we certainly have to explore those.
Absolutely. Now, I'm also a big fan of biohacking. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your biohacking routine. What are some of your favorite biohacks?
Well, you know, visualization is one a part of my evening routine because for me, I'm always thinking, and I need to get into a deep delta sleep. So part of my evening routine is visualization. In about 2 minutes, I visualize the next 24 hours and I make the right decisions while I'm visualizing about the next 24 hours. The reason I do that is because then I don't have to lay there awake and thinking about what about this tomorrow? What about this? What should I say to during the meeting? How am I going to handle this? That's already done in 2 minutes during my evening power routine. So now my mind's empty. I'm ready for the next day. And I don't have to worry or think about things because there's different reasons why people don't have a deep sleep. And many times it's your mind still going. So with the visualization, I shut it off because I already solved the next 24 hours. I already made the decisions about lunch, about a meeting decision, etc. And so now I can go to sleep. So, but then you have obviously other routines, which is, you know, exercise. I got a hyperbaric chamber. I got certain supplements. I got a far infrared sauna. I got breath work. I got brain tap. So in my weekly schedule, I put those, you know, those time frames and those self-development skills of upgrading my body and my mind, my exercise, I put that into a routine. You know, and that's obviously biohacking is upgrading that body and the mind. You got to continue to do that if you want to stay ahead of the game.
100%. And what are your views on nutrition? I know we spoke briefly about, you know, the importance of having proper nutrition and nourishing your body the right way. What does your nutrition look like? And if you, let's say, have a client that could do better with their nutrition, where are some places that you think most people could start?
Well, yeah, it's usually always basics, right? So I like to talk about the word toxemia. To me, the word, you know, toxemia is the cause of all disease. And so toxemia literally means toxins in the blood. But in a little bit more detail, what it means is as part of normal living, our daily metabolism, we obviously produce waste and toxins. But in a healthy organism, those toxins are eliminated by the bowels, the kidneys, the skin, etc. So no harm is done. However, today, most people are in a toxemia state, which means is we are ingestion and we are exposed to far more toxins than the body possibly can eliminate. So now those toxins accumulate in our blood and our body, and that's what we call toxemia. Now, what are the toxins doing? Well, number one, these toxins are stealing an electron from a healthy atom, which then becomes unstable, which we know as free radicals. So they cause oxidative stress. And number two, these toxins floating around cause a state of emergency, which in conventional medicine we call systemic inflammation. And even according to conventional medicine, systemic inflammation is the cause of all disease, or at least 90% of all disease. So knowing that, what do we need to do to be healthy and avoid any and all disease? Is we need to keep toxemia in check. How do we do that? Theoretically, it's very easy. We need to reduce the exposure and intake of toxins. From what? From man-made foods, man-made drinks, over-the-counter pharmaceutical medications, toxic household products, cosmetic products, and electromagnetic frequencies and radiation. From what? Our smart devices, smart appliances, our laptops, our computers, smartphones, etc. So we need to do whatever we can to reduce and mitigate that while simultaneously increasing the nutrients that fight free radical damage, systemic inflammation, and repair our DNA. So that's a general concept. And if we can do that, we're going to be in good shape. So when it comes to diets, it's obviously everything from Mother Nature, wholesome fruits and vegetables, trying to avoid man-made foods and everything that is toxic laden. And that's where you start. And in today's society, because I get this question a lot, you really need high quality supplements. They are your insurance policy because, again, we don't live in pristine areas anymore. So we are bombarded with a lot more toxins. And now this invisible threat of electromagnetic radiation than ever before. And at the same time, it's very hard to get healthy food because even if you get wholesome organic food, which I recommend you do, but we need to be realistic that a lot of that wholesome organic food that we buy at the farmer's market or the organic section of the supermarket, a lot of the value, nutritional value, has lost also because there's a time between harvest and consumption. And during that time, a lot of nutrients are lost. For example, if you store asparagus for 1 week, 90% of the vitamin C is gone, right? So we need to be conscious about, yes, we need to eat healthy, organic, wholesome if we can, but even then, a lot of nutrients have been lost unless you have your own organic garden or your hydroponic or aquaponic system. All power to you, but most people don't have time to do that and make that happen in their own yard where you pick something and eat it up, right? So having said that, high-quality supplements now also become an insurance policy to optimal health. So when I talk about upgrading diet, obviously I talk about what to eat, what not to eat, and how to gradually tip those scales of avoiding toxemia and implementing nutrients from your diet, but also supplements that do what? Fight free radical damage, counteract systemic inflammation, and repair your DNA.
What are some of your favorite supplements? Obviously, there's so many. I mean, I have a pretty wild supplement routine as well, but what are some like 3 to 5 supplements that you think most people should probably
use? I use some products that have some pretty advanced anti-inflammatory properties. When people go to my website later and go to the shop here page, they're not my supplements. I don't sell anything, but I list everything that I use so they can go there. And they just came out with an epigenetic study where this one product called Eternel basically reduces inflammation by 1,250%. So yes, I use that supplement. So it's about that inflammation. Most supplements out there obviously don't work because nobody controls the industry. So you need medical grade, pharmaceutical grade supplements. On my website, under the About Supplements page, I list all the criteria that a consumer should look at before buying a supplement. And then it also lists the supplements that I take, but Eternel would be one of them. Then from a biohacking point of view, I use hydrogen a lot. I have hydrogen infused water. Now I'm looking into a hydrogen inhalation system because hydrogen is the smallest antioxidant and is the only antioxidant that is not charged, so it can enter the cell. So yes, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, glutathione, all those things are important because we want to neutralize free radicals, but they can protect us inside the cell, and hydrogen can protect our proteins, RNA and DNA. So when it comes to to protecting our DNA and repairing our DNA, hydrogen is important. Hydrogen also helps produce NADPH. NADPH is the battery of ourselves. It's like the battery of our cells. If we have enough NADPH, we have an electron reservoir. So let's imagine you have that vitamin C that neutralizes a free radical. And now that free radical, you know, is neutralized and a healthy atom again. However, when that happens, the vitamin C suddenly becomes useless. It only can do that once. But what if we have an electron reservoir and we can keep feeding that same vitamin C electrons to continue to neutralize free radicals? Wouldn't that be awesome? And that's what hydrogen NADPH does. NAD plus is one of the big words in biohacking today, right? Because NAD plus is basically the fuel for our innate DNA repair system. We have a system in our bodies to repair DNA that's damaged, whether it's from toxins in our body, from electromagnetic radiation, doesn't matter. We have a system that repairs it. But in most of us, that system doesn't work because it requires fuel, and the fuel of that DNA repair system is NAD+. So we need enough NAD+ in our body, whether it's through a supplement, an IV, or whether it's through precursors like tryptophan or the best one, niacin, or precursors to NAD+. And then obviously also knowing on how to not use up that NAD+ unnecessarily, which is eating late, not exercising, electromagnetic radiation will deplete your NAD+, you know, sources and things like that. So one of my best-selling books was EMR, The Invisible Threat, which gives the reader or the consumer a lot of tips that you can implement at no cost to mitigate those damaging effects of EMR. Even on my website, I have a free resource page that gives you all the links and all the things to do or that you can do to mitigate that radiation.
Which is extremely important because, like you said, it's invisible and a lot of people aren't aware that it continues to increase every single year. Right. Yeah. There's like these, you know, TV commercials for these phone companies, you know, come upgrade your phone for the new 5G. And people are like, oh, wow, like great 5G. They don't realize like, you know, the damaging effects of these things as well. But it is good to know that there are things that you could incorporate in your life to protect against that. So definitely very, very key. Now, another thing that you mentioned with a lot of people that is critical is your support system and the people that you surround yourself with. So I'm curious if, let's say, you were working with a client and throughout the process of working with them, you realize that there might be some people in their life that are either extremely negative, aren't as supportive as they should be, you know, sort of weigh them down. But maybe the relationship that they have with them is, it's like a family member, right? It's not a significant other that they could just break up with or a friend that they could say bye to. Somebody that they're going to have to be around at a certain level throughout the duration of their life. What would be your advice to them?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. And I actually kind of mentioned that before they even mentioned it to me. So I'm proactive when it comes to those things. So I do educate people on a comfort zone. Everybody heard about the comfort zone and leaving the under a comfort zone, but it's all they know. So things are easier when they know what to expect when you leave the comfort zone and what the obstacles are going to be. So I tell people, when you leave the comfort zone, the next zone is the fear zone, the learning zone. You got to learn a new skill, and then the growth zone. And again, at some point, that growth zone becomes your new comfort zone. So you got to do it all over again. But what I tell them is that they will get resistance mostly from their family members and their loved ones when they come with an idea like, hey, I'm doing these thousands and thousands of eye surgeries and I'm a millionaire and we got this great house, but I want to play the guitar. Of course, they're going to get resistance, right? So I need to prepare my clients that they are going to get that. But I'm also going to tell them that it's not because these people don't want you to succeed or don't want you to be happy or have a life of fulfillment. The reason they resist it and the reason they tell you you must be crazy is because you are part of their comfort zone and they don't want to disrupt their comfort zone. So instead of starting a fight or an argument or negativity, as you mentioned it, be prepared that that's what's going to happen. Be proactive and make them part of getting out of the comfort zone and just help them with their comfort zone. But don't be upset because they're not doing it because they don't love you or they don't care about you. It's a reaction because our brain is very basic, as we know. It's flight or fight many times. And our brain always tells us, you're doing just fine. You are safe. Why quit your job? Why do something this? Don't. That's what your brain does, right? And so it's the same for the people around you, your loved ones. So they're going to tell you you're crazy. Don't do it. You're making all the, you're taking all these risks. And what if it doesn't work? And what if it is? And so if you're prepared for that and you're proactive and you don't be reactive to it because you know it was coming, and you kind of sit down with them and be calm and say, this is what I'm doing. It's calculated. I'm not giving up my job. I'm freeing up 1 hour a day. I want you to be supportive. And what is it that you want in your life? Because maybe I can help you to fulfill you. Or do you want to be part of my team? Because I'm putting up a team of experts together, and I need your support to break that world record. I need you to be on my side, and this is how you can help. And kind of turn the tables on them that way.
Yeah, I think that is very sound advice. And a lot of times it is as a result of that. Also, I think sometimes people struggle with seeing individuals that strive to grow and evolve because maybe they did not make those choices in their life. And maybe they're later on in life and have regrets. Because I think a lot of people do live life with regrets, thinking, you know, what if I actually had the courage to pursue that idea that I had or that passion that I had, right?
It's a good question. And at the same time, I did a podcast a while ago. It was 55 plus our retired podcast, something like that. And again, it's like, it's not too late. You're still alive. And like I said, some people can get a world record in a few years. Some people can realize their dreams in a few years. It doesn't have to be a whole lifetime. And so maybe you were the one that were pushed to do something in your life, and you did get married and you did get kids and you worked a job and you were good at it or not good at it, but you provided for your family and now you're retired and your kids are out of the home. And what now? Well, what now? You know, don't be sad. Don't look back. Now you have time for yourself again. So what is your purpose? What are you excited about? What do you want to do? Who do you want to help? Let's do it. It's not too late.
Absolutely. I always say it's never too late to become who you might have been, right?
No,
always, no. Always make your dreams come true. Now, I know that you've written several amazing books. In addition to those, are there any other resources that have helped you in your journey, whether it be documentaries, podcasts, other books, things that you would recommend people check out?
Yeah, all of the above, right? I mean, a lot of people around me obviously gave me ideas, mentored me, gave me different perspective on things for sure. So that's why, again, you know, everybody knows the saying that, you know, if you surround yourself with five drug addicts, you will be the sixth one. If you surround yourself with five billionaires, you will be the sixth one. So, you know, so sometimes it's hard, right? Because you have friends from maybe even college and they're still in town. And, you know, it doesn't mean you can't be friends with them, but you got to be very conscious about how much time do you want to spend with them. Do you want to end up like them? Or are you the person that wants to reach much higher goals and dreams? So you don't have to necessarily cut those connections or be a dick about it. But at the same time, you may want to spend most of your time somewhere else, right? And so, hard to say in what field you are, right? But I think Joe Dispenza, Superhuman, is a great book. One of my early books that changed the perspective in my life was Stephen R. Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, some basic principles, but you just stumble on those things that at a certain time in your life, that's exactly the message that you need. So yes, there's some books and things out there that everybody could benefit from, but I think for just looking at podcasts and searching online and reading some books, at a certain time, you will stumble on something that resonates with you just that moment. If you would have read it any other time or watched that video any other time, it wouldn't have connected with you anyways, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the key is spend time on personally developing and growing by reading, by listening, by surrounding yourself with the right people. And you will get those messages, right? Because it's about mindset again. Whatever you put out there, you need, you know, will come to you. Those resources will come to you. So don't be blinded to those resources. Just have a clear vision on what you need, what you want, and start looking for it, and it will fall right in your lap.
Absolutely. Now, a question that I love to ask all of our guests on this podcast is, if you could sit down and have tea with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Man, that's a tough one, right? So many, but anyone. Maybe at this point, because I was always the guy that was an athlete focused on the body and health. But the last few years, I really had to recognize the power of the mind and really do breathwork and get into that area and really get strong there. And so I think maybe Gandhi, right? Because, you know, he had so many great quotes, but at the same time, it's a person that they took everything from him, but not his mind, not his faith, not his willpower. And so, I mean, that's another level of being control and being of something that nobody can take. And so that probably would be an interesting conversation.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to learn from Gandhi for sure. Now, for anyone that's going to listen to this podcast that wants to learn more about your work, order your books, perhaps work with you as a one-on-one client, where are the best places to reach you at?
I think the best place is just my website, biohackingunlimited.com. The books are there. They're on Amazon too. My mentorship programs, there's several levels. You can check it out over there. You can schedule a 20-minute free Zoom call with me just to talk about me and see how we could help each other. There's a newsletter you can subscribe to for free. My speaking bio is there. Links to podcasts, YouTubes is there. So biohackingunlimited.com, check it out. Don't hesitate to contact me and I'm here to help.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I learned a lot. I think we could all definitely boost our productivity, mindset, all these really important things that really influence the way that we live life. So thank you for all that you do and for sharing all your wisdom with us.
Thank you too, Jonathan. I always say it, it's your time too. And getting the message out is teamwork. So thank you also.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We'll have to do it again soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining me on my episode with Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike shared so many great tips with me on how we can all better our productivity, focus, and mindset. As always, if you have any questions, please email us at podcast@drinkdowntoearth.com or get in touch with us on Instagram @drinkdte. In the meantime, stay healthy and stay hydrated. Cheers.
Now it's time for you to go out there and do at least one small thing to better your health today.
Always choose to make your life a healthier, happier, and a more down-to-earth place.
Until next time.
Cheers to good health.